morning. We are starting on a good note. We have, oh, good morning, I see more familiar faces around the room. Oh, how wonderful. We are starting on a relatively good note, I think, as we are only 10 minutes late, and it was Niloufer and I that were late. So this is good news because it can be fixed. Usually we were late at the beginning because the fellows were hanging out, having morning coffee, and they would not be coming in. So thank you very much for being here on time. And I would like to once again welcome everybody as we did yesterday. We are very happy that you are all here. Thank you to the newcomers, and we will have ample of time to introduce ourselves today to find out a little bit more about the work that everyone has been involved in. As one of the main, actually, goals of this program and this network is knowledge sharing. It is really establishing links and being able to advance not only knowledge, but also strategies as to how we promote what is dear to all of us. As a result of that, and Niloufer will speak to you a lot more about it, there are regional groups and thematic groups that have been formed over the last 5-6 years. Many, many outcomes. Latin America, for example, has had two regional not meetings, but courses, actually, very similar to the workshops that we will have here. There are plans underway for many other regions, and therefore we hope that all of you, as we go through the next 2 weeks, will familiarize yourselves with the groups. Many people will be coming in and out introducing the themes, and we will continue making progress, I'm sure, along these lines and along those fronts. I will simply reiterate what was said yesterday. I was hoping that it will be a very short intervention, a very short welcome, and let's go back to dinner and wine. But as you all know, we had a little bit more of an introduction. Nonetheless, I want to once again extend some thanks. They are really in order. First of all, thank you very much for your interest, for applying and for being here. I want to thank particularly, and at the outset, I should be leaving the best for last, as they say, but I want to extend my sincere thanks to Yasin Fall. She is a member of the network, and she has been extraordinarily helpful in moving forward the intellectual agenda, especially at this time of crisis, and providing us with all kinds of support. You will be meeting her shortly, I hope. She should be coming any minute now, as they say, and you will meet her in person. We are really indebted to her. There are several other organizations. Good morning. There are several other organizations that have been supporting us from the very beginning. Ford Foundation and Butch Montes, I introduced him a little bit yesterday. Niloufer introduced him, and you will hear his name over and over and over again as a sign of our indebtedness to him and his support throughout. We also have received generous support from UNDP, the Regional Bureau for Latin America and the Caribbean. And we have also been supported greatly by the Livy Economics Institute. It is my base. It is Niloufer's home, first home, second home. But my gratitude to everyone here is really beyond words. People stayed until 8 and 9 o'clock at night, running around, trying to figure out itineraries the last minute. And there are five people that I want to mention again. They are not in the room, either because they are shy or because they are working, once again, very, very hard for us. Susan Howard, Kathleen Mulally, Liz Dunn, and there are two students, actually, that you will see with a badge that says staff as well. It's Deborah Suarez and Andrea Salinas Ivanenko. So you will see them again and again. I'm sure that you will thank them in your own personal way. And as a means of thanking them, actually, I would like to propose that during the course, I am sure that there will be some requests that you will have. We will be very happy to help make your stay pleasant in addition to productive. And I would kindly invite you for any requests that you may have that you contact me. I'm going to be in the room all the time. And depending on availability of people, which is something that I will be keeping in my own mind, we will make arrangements accordingly. The staff will be upstairs working. It would be too disruptive for you, really, to try and identify where they are and handle the details, etc. So please do make best use of me, as I will be around constantly. In gathering, usually every year, when we have the course, we call the course macroeconomics and gender awareness in policies, in international trade. This particular year, we call the workshop, we have included the term crisis. And it is obvious why we are focusing on this. Many of the presentations will have a direct, actually, content in regards to the crisis, direct discussion on the crisis. But I think what is also important to keep in mind is that in order to both understand the crisis, look at the impacts of the crisis, and propose remedial policies, one has to have an appropriate framework. So in many, many ways, what we will be doing here is going back and forth between gender-informed approaches and frameworks through which we can come to grips with the world and with including the current economic crisis. And also there will be special sessions where we will discuss the causes, the economic and social and political causes of the current crisis. We find this to be a wonderful complementarity, and I hope you will too. Very, very good possibility. I would say 100%, but I have to be a little bit cautious with my comments because I am always on the very optimistic side. But there is a very, very good possibility that the conference will take place within the United Nations system. We will all move to New York City for the last 2 days of this workshop, and we will have some wonderful people introducing actually the themes, and we will have both some media attention, but also since this is a policy-oriented, it is a crisis, we come from a gender perspective, we really want to enter that dialogue. So it is one perhaps of the best first steps to enter that dialogue by inviting people from throughout the UN system to participate and comment. Niloufer in particular and Butch Montes have been working very hard in doing that. I have been, of course, involved in it as well. And it will be to Butch and to Niloufer Chatai that we will extend many, many thanks if and when they make the final announcement that, yes, indeed, we are going to have this meeting there. Let me just finish this introduction by telling you a little bit about the work that I, in particular, have been doing because we will be going all around. There are colleagues in this room. I don't work alone. I always work with other people. And when I look around, I can see faces of people that I have been working for quite a long time. Indira Hirwe and myself were involved in a year and a half project, and I will leave it to her in her introductory comments to tell you what the project was about. At times discussed and debated, at times complemented each other, and at times took very different paths in terms of our research. I see Ton Toy here, and I have worked with him on a similar topic. I will leave that to him as well. The ML Memis is not in the room, so unfortunately I cannot leave it to her. So just to make a very brief announcement, we are working on the issue of income and time poverty, how one can combine the two. And in the course of the next 2 weeks, I will have ample opportunity to talk about several issues, several topics. So I will stop here, but I will invite you when you present your own work and your own affiliations with other people and projects that you are being involved in to give us a lot more detail than what I have just done. Thank you very much, and I'll give now the floor to Niloufer.
Thank you. You will give the floor, but I'll take the room. I have a way of doing that. And I am one of these people who finds it hard to sit for a very long time at the table. So if you don't mind, there is no technical reason why I can't walk around, right? Okay. So if... I can take the microphone. You know, I always wanted to be Madonna, but with my physique, no such luck. So I pretend something like that, a chorus girl, maybe. Good morning. Welcome. Very, very warm welcome to all of you one more time. It's a great pleasure to see you all here, our new friends, and of course old friends. It's always great and wonderful to see you. You have come from all over the world. You have traveled all very, very far, and it is just a great pleasure to see everyone here. I should say my name again is Niloufer, and my last name is pronounced Chaatai. And and I go by Niloufer. So people ask me a lot of times, do you have a nickname? And I go by Niloufer. I am going to talk a little bit about the history of GEM IWG, which, as you know, stands for the International Working Group on Gender, Macroeconomics, and International Economics. And as I mentioned last night, but I think we have some new folks. Who is a newcomer? Okay, so a newcomer in the sense of you just joined us. Those of you who, there's a few of us who were not at the dinner, and there are going to be people joining us later. This is kind of a very special year because this is the 15th anniversary of GEM IWG, which we started, a bunch of us started GEM IWG. In 1994, and we're going to have a special celebration about that. But the reason that a bunch of us sort of got together and started this group was the following: once upon a time in America, in a city called Washington, D.C., there were two institutions which are known still as the Bretton Woods institutions, the bank and the funds. And once upon a time in Washington, D.C., they used to do two things. One was structural adjustment, and the other one was called macroeconomic stabilization. Of course, these policies, as you know, were put into place in the late 70s and early 80s, and a number of countries from all around the world were, through a variety of means, were made to adopt these kinds of policies. And a number of us, since the 80s, had been criticizing these policies and had been contesting the policy positions of these institutions, not as individuals, but as members of a number of groups, economists, as members of, you know, heterodoxy in the economics profession, and also as feminists, because along with a number of people, we were arguing that these policies were not in the interest of poor people, not in the interest of women, and so on. So we had been engaging in this kind of discussion and contestation, and it became clear that in order to be able to talk more effectively, given the nature of power relations in these institutions and given the nature of power relations in academia and in the in economics, in mainstream economics, we decided that we really need to go beyond criticizing, showing the effects of these policies and so on and so forth, but actually that we need to come up with a kind of an alternative reformulation of economic thinking, and in particular macroeconomic thinking. So we started to do, and there were, there was the first thing we did was actually a workshop which we held at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. And we basically put together, put in a room, locked up in a room. I locked up 30 people in a room. 30 economists in a room locked up over a week. Great. Sometimes disasters come out of this, and sometimes good things come out of it. And I think in this case it was good. And these economists, some of them were people who had a background in gender and development and so on, and others were sort of heterodox economists, but they hadn't thought much about the gender angle. So we, you know, sat in these rooms over, periodically held these kinds of workshops. And out of this work came, I think, what we believe is the first attempt to actually do feminist macroeconomics in the sense of rethinking about macroeconomics from a feminist point of view, and starting with the conceptual first principles of economics, and then doing modeling, and doing empirical work, and doing, of course, policy work and political work. And there's, of course, a big difference between policy and political. But, of course, at the end of the day, everything is political. Doing models that are different from everybody else is also a very act of politics and political. And that's how we see our work. We are, many of us are academicians or people who work in, have worked in governments or in international institutions. We wear many different hats, but we always bear in mind, and we always know acutely and very sharply why we do what we do. It has a political purpose. So it's also the politics of knowledge production. We will be talking about politics of knowledge production, because knowledge production is a highly political process. It's a process that entails all kinds of power relations, and these are the kinds of power relations that we try to contest and to make knowledge production an inclusive process, a process that actually reflects really the experiences and knowledge of all kinds of people, not only those of us who happen to be in an elite position, but all the people who are not in this room, but who have incredible knowledge on the basis of their experience, because knowledge is experiential. So that is what we were trying to do, and out of this work came the first one volume of the journal World Development. That is the November 1995 special issue of World Development, and I am not sure if we usually have a table, a literature table, which we set up, And we also asked all of you to bring materials to share with us your work, but the work of other folks who are doing, who we would not have access to. That's one of the things about knowledge sharing. So we will be gathering those materials, but let me just say that the first thing that we produced was a special issue of November 1995, special issue of World Development, and as we believe that was the first attempt to actually do macroeconomics from a feminist point of view, and the first attempts to actually do formal modeling as well as other types of work. We're going to have a chance to talk about these later. We also edited another volume as a continuation of this in July 2000, special issue of World Development is also devoted to these kinds of issues. And so a number of us were, engaging with, especially with policymakers and policymaking institutions, the powerful folks and the not so powerful folks, and work with civil society organizations and so forth. But then in 2002, we decided that we really have to work on expanding this sort of informal network that we had, and we decided that we really needed to bring on board many, many more people than we had, because by that time, one always runs the danger of being a gatekeeper of knowledge. You do something, and then people just start, those who get interested in these issues, they come to you. And what we're really trying to do in some ways is that we refuse to be gatekeepers of knowledge. So that is where philosophically where we come from. We would like young people, younger people, to actually be not only be a part of this family, but also we will rely on you to carry on this work when we still remain young at heart, but we are more advanced in our years. We are going to rely on all the younger folks to actually take this work forward. So you have just made a commitment by coming here. You have also made a commitment to do that, and we are going to hold you accountable if you don't. Accountable. Okay. So, anyway, we decided that we need to do this, and we need to, and when we, as Rania said, we started the second phase of GMIWG. With this program, which we call, this particular program, which we call Knowledge Sharing and Knowledge Networking Program. And we really never call what we do training. Training is a word that I personally do not care for. The word training, because it is a very popular word in international circles and so on, that you can train people to do X, Y, Z. You open their brain, you put something in, boom, they go home and they know what to do. Okay, I have very strong negative feelings about this word. I will not use any more adjectives. This is not about training. This is about sharing knowledge. And again, we start with the proposition that everyone has something to share. So even though for a variety of reasons we call some people instructors and some people are called fellows, we are all instructors and we are all fellows because we are all sharing knowledge, but there are, for a variety of reasons, we have to say some people are instructors and so on. But everybody should be here to learn and to teach, and I am always very excited when I see a new group of people. So it's about knowledge sharing and knowledge networking, one, not about training. Two, it is really about the politics of knowledge production and also what you do with knowledge. So it is not about academically glorifying knowledge. It can be, but that's not the point and that's not the purpose. So the question of what is to be done with the knowledge that we have is always the question that motivates us. So what is to be done is the thing that always motivates us. Now, and we are, I have to say, and I said this last night, but we are more than a network. This the word network doesn't sort of fully impart the feeling that we have, and the feeling that we have is really better described as much more as a family, as a family which is kind of all over the world, and we do keep in touch with each other, but we are a living network. And what makes one a gemista is a question that you can ask. What is it that makes you a gemista? It is not paying some dues and filling out a form that says, I'm a member of GEM-IWG. In fact, we don't call membership the word membership. It is about belonging. Being a gemista is about, it's a belonging. It's a concept of belonging. It's not membership. It's a belonging. And belonging in our mind means that if you believe that you are a part of this family, emotionally, you know, spiritually, in whatever way, if you think that you belong, and if you do things that show the rest of us that you belong, then you are a gemista. And in that sense, you know, people are gemistas when they feel that they belong and when they also do things that are in line with our collective purpose. So that is what makes you a gemista. And I know there is a debate about are we gems or gemistas. But so this is what this is about. Now, kind of work we do, as you know, entails doing really starting and questioning and redoing, if you will, economics from the starting from the axiomatic principles. We will talk about these in at length and doing modeling and so on and so forth. But we also have to say that we all wear we wear different hats, and when we think about these gatherings that we have, we always want to have people who come from different continents, countries, regions, people who are of different ages, men, women, and also, you know, people who have different experiences. Some people are academics, some people are, you know, teaching in universities, some people are working for the government, in research institutions, in civil society organizations doing research. Everybody is has been so far an economist or people with a lot of experience in economics in their daily work. But the best, we feel that the best way to move forward in this area is actually for each of us to try to wear these different hats. It's like interdisciplinarity, right? When you do a lot of things require an interdisciplinary approach, and gender and actually poverty are two of those things that really require interdisciplinarity. But interdisciplinarity is best not when you have two people in the same room, one is an economist and the other one is a sociologist, where there's a division of labor. But interdisciplinarity works best when both of these people can think of as economists and as sociologists at the same time, that we connect things under the one skull. We have these, and that's actually an expression of a wonderful economist who I admire a lot, Paul Streeton. He said, we're sitting on the same, this has to be under the same skull, interdisciplinarity. Yes, Paul. And in a way, what we also do is like this. That we must all be able to go from really abstract principles of theory to the understanding and doing empirical work and to doing politics and political work. And we must be wearing all these hats at the same time. We must be trying to strive toward that. So that's what we're trying to do. Now, in terms of the purpose and the really the most general goal of this of the kind of work we do is really we would see ourselves as part of the social justice movement in the world. And our bit as economists is to produce the type of knowledge that will hopefully help us get to a more just and a more decent world. Because each and everybody, each and every individual, each and every child, each and every human being deserves to have a dignified life. And this is what we are trying to do. What we try to do is at the end of the day, as I said yesterday, is really for the children of the world, just to work toward a kind of life where there will be decency, respect, and provisioning of all the people in the world so that all the creativity in each and every human being can be expressed, and that then there can be. It is only under those conditions can we have what we would call true freedom, real freedom, true freedom. And we also have to always remember that even though some of us may think we are free, etc., we cannot free. Freedom is something that is not an individual condition. No one can be free until everyone is free. Freedom is a is a very difficult thing to achieve. It's not an individual thing, however. So it is in that sense and with that spirit that we work toward what we're doing. And again, just I will just say mention briefly that the network's name, GEM, IWG, or the acronym, made that up in 2002 when we started the second phase, but we were there before that, it's just that we didn't know what our name was or the acronym was. And for those of you who were at dinner last night, you met my son, whose name is Ali Cem as well. And GEM means gathering in Turkish. So the acronym stands not only for gender and macroeconomics, but it also stands for this idea of gathering and gathering. And the purpose of the gathering is, again, to serve at the end of the day to move forward with social justice. I just want to say one more thing, and then I will quit talking. May I? Say one more thing, madam. Okay. I'd like to say that, again, when we are doing our work as gemistas, one of the things we do is that we get ourselves organized into thematic and regional groups. And the regional groups we have a number of folks who are from the regional groups. So I will mention the regional groups, and then I will make references to folks who will talk more about them. But we have, not only we have GEM IWG, which is the global level network, but we are also all members of what we sometimes call the baby GEMs. These are GEM Asia, GEM Latin America, GEM LAC, and that is GEM Latin America and the Caribbean, GEM Asia, GEM Africa, GEM Middle East and North Africa, GEM MENA. We have, and then we have a group that we used to call GEM Transition, but we think that it's better to call it GEM Eastern Europe, Central Asia and the Caucasus. It's a little bit long, but we have to find a shorter acronym for it. But so those are the regional groups that we have. So one of the things we do as we all come back together is to go and actually organize meetings with our colleagues from our region. We do not believe, actually, that people should be just focusing on their own regions, because there are very many things to be learned from experiences of countries and regions that are very different from yours. So we try to do both. We try to share experiences across regions and different types of economies, but we also want to work in sort of specific contexts as regional groups as well. So we do both of these kinds of things. So we all go and sort of find our groups, but we also, it doesn't mean that if I'm, you know, I'm from one country, I have to be necessarily only in that country, because your experience, you may be from Asia, but your knowledge and expertise may be on Africa. So it doesn't mean that if you're not an African, you cannot go to the African group or whatever. So I just want to make that very, very clear. It's obvious, but we need to make that clear. The second type of thing to do, which goes, which crisscrosses this, is the thematic groups, that we form thematic groups on topics that people like to do work on and research on and so on, and they formulate projects on. And, of course, those thematic groups, there are people from whatever continent, region, and so on. So we have a lot of crisscrossing of these things. We have had a number of thematic groups. I'm going to mention some of them, but also there are a number of gemistas here who have been working in those thematic groups, so they're going to say more about those. But just to mention a few, there's been a thematic group on time use studies, CGE, social accounting matrices, and CGE modeling. There has been one on the Asia group had a group on work and labor in the age of globalization in Asia. That was actually the formulation of the Asian group. They decided to do this kind of thing. There had been a group on gender and taxation, and a number of others. If you go to the website and navigate, you will see the different kinds of groups. People can, of course, form whatever thematic group that they like if they find people who are interested on the same topics. And this year, however, of course, we are all going to work on forming projects on crisis, and there are many, many things about the crisis that, of course, we need to be still working on. But crisis, of course, is going to be one thing, but we're going to have to break that up, because the crisis is too huge a topic, so we will probably break it up into different groups. But people should always be thinking about what kind of initiatives that they can take. In other words, we are not going to tell you, you know, Salimata and Ton will, you know, be assigned to a black group. No, Salimata and Ton maybe will start talking to each other, and they'll have the idea that they what we want to work on, and then they will organize other people. They can announce it and say, is there somebody else who wants to work with this, on this with us, and so on and so forth. So we will not tell you what to do. You will tell everybody else what you want to do. Okay, so that's how those groups work. Now, the very last thing is I want to say is that, again, I am so thrilled and so happy to see among you some of our older friends and older gemistas. They have come back, and this is what I think this is supposed to show how what it means to sense of belonging in something. I'd like to introduce in particular several people. I want to start with Jianhua Tang, who first as a 2006. And next, and you know, you're going to make remarks in a bit, but and also I'd like to introduce Tang is from the People's Republic of China, Eka Sepashvili, and she is from Georgia, and she joined us as a fellow in 2006 as well. And I am looking around, and I am seeing a number of other friends who are sitting also in the back. Alicia Giron, who is from Mexico, and she joined us 2005. Maureen Huere, who is from Kenya, she joined us in 2004. Oh, so you're an old timer. Ah, you're senior to Alicia. Yes, and okay. And Gül, it turns out, also joined us. Gül Ünal joined us in 2003. Yes, in 2003. That was the first group. Eva is a colleague with whom we worked in many different contexts, and she has joined us as an instructor, and also in Istanbul she joined us, and you will say what you are planning to do. I will not talk on behalf of you. Next to Eva is Manuel Montes, Butch Montes, again. Butch has a history of he was working for the Ford Foundation when we started the second phase of GEM-IWG, and he then you know, moved on to UNDP, and now he's of course at the headquarters of the UN and United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs, and you know, he's you will. Okay. And I have to say, next to Butch is his wonderful and lovely wife, Cynthia, who is also part of this family. She has been a part of this family since 2003. Next to Cynthia is Indra Hirwe from India, and she has been she has instructed, formed research groups. She has done the whole shebang. And Indra will talk about this later. And next to Indra is Pinaki Chakraborty, also from India. And Pinaki has been part of one of the research groups that came out of GEM-IWG. And of course, she'll be talking about that later. That's the gender and taxation groups, and also is joining us as an instructor. That's a great pleasure. I have to say, on another personal note, Pinaki's better half, known as Leka Chakraborty, and you will forgive me for saying she's a better half, but you have to admit she's. Leka Chakraborty joined us as a fellow in 2004, right? Because you were in the same year. Yeah, 2004. And later we are going to be joined by others who are coming back and joining us in one capacity or another. So that is very exciting. On that note, I'd like to pass the microphone. How shall we do this? Because I like everyone. We would like you to go on the table and introduce yourselves, and then we will ask our colleagues to also introduce themselves and to talk a little bit. So I'm just going to pass the microphone, and I will start with.